Right, we'll make a start. First thing, from my cleaning of the board the last time, it appears that you're all very good at empirical formula, and it appears to me that the nice fellow who kept you safe last period also at least talked to somebody about how we go from an empirical formula to a molecular formula. So that's lovely. I'll assume that you know that. Okay, the big question, what's an empirical formula? Okay, we just look for people whose mouths are moving first to pick on. Okay, so that's two classes ago. What's an empirical formula? Do we have to look it up? Do I have to play you all of the last lesson just for fun? Because I'd enjoy it. So the simplest whole number ratio of atoms present in a molecule. Okay. Now, if we have to ask the subsequent question, the subsequent question is, what's a molecular formula? So an empirical formula is the simplest whole number ratio. Guess what a molecular formula is. This is called engage brain. Molecular formula. Guess what the molecular formula is. It's the formula of the... That was hard. So knowledge is a bad thing. Empirical formula, simplest whole number ratio of the elements in something. Molecular formula, formula of the... Molecule. Okay. Sounds suspiciously like pulling teeth. So, hopefully, simple version. If the empirical formula of something is that one carbon to two hydrogens to one oxygen, the molecular formula of that can be. So, molecular formula says CH2O, I beg your pardon, empirical formula says CH2O. Molecular formula, C5H10O5, ribose. Or C6H12O6, fructose. What we're doing here is playing spot the difference. Okay, we'll start with the really simple version of the difference. What's the difference between the empirical formula and the molecular formula?
Empirical formula is equal.
Okay. Or we could say the difference is 5.
Yeah.
Empirical formula times 5 is the molecular formula.
In every
case. No. Okay. In this case, that's true. The empirical formula is the simplest whole number ratio for a molecule. What the actual formula of the molecule is depends on one other thing. Okay, what's the difference between C5H10O5 and C6H12O6? Yeah, mass. How much it weighs, or how many atoms are in it? Okay, we do hard things like spot the difference. This number is a 5. This number is not a 5. Okay, so, difference between empirical formula and molecular formula, or how you work out the molecular formula, is the mass. So, the game here is we convert empirical formula to molecular formula. Where did empirical formula come from?
Isn't the molecular formula how the natural actually him?
Yes. Where do we get empirical formulae from? Why? Yes, it's greater simplification of a ratio, but that's just maths.
So you can mix it with stuff?
No. Okay, the big deal with empirical formula is if you stick it in a machine, in this case, analytical processes will tell you things like the ratio of the atoms. So the empirical formula is the product of analysis. What actually happens, we have to put in one more step. So yes, it's the greatest mathematical simplification, absolutely true. But the question is, why are we using it? And we're using it because it's a product of analysis. So it's not just that we can play mathematical games with the formula, we can. But there's actually a purpose behind it. So we put the carbohydrate in a machine, and it says the ratio comes out at 1 carbon, 2 hydrogens, 1 oxygen. Or we do in another kind of analysis by mass. We get this kind of thing. What happens next is we need to do one more step, which is how do we turn the empirical formula into what molecule's actually there? What molecule did we put in the machine? Which white powder was it? When we handed the class a white powder, they line it up on the desk and inhale. We find out which one it actually was. And generally it's something like salt. All right, so in this case, remember, empirical formula is the product of analysis, molecular formula is the real thing. How do we get from one to the other? Getting from the empirical formula to the molecular formula. Step one, and someone said it before, the difference is mass. So we play a mass game. Calculate the mass of the empirical formula. And in that case, the mass of that empirical formula, 30. I'm waiting for someone to correct me because arithmetic's never been my strong point. So feel free. I will make instant jumps and get it wrong. So feel free to correct me. But in this case, CH2O, 12 plus 2 times 1 plus 16 equals 30. So that was step one. Calculate that. Step two. If you're being asked to calculate one, molar mass of the molecule will be given, and therefore the molar mass of the molecule is 120, 16. See, I can't do 5 16s, that's why. So 70 150. So we've got an empirical formula, mass of 30 grams per mole. We've got an actual molecule with a mass of 150. How do we convert one to the other? To get the molecular formula. Okay, so you multiply divide molecular formula by the empirical formula. To get a factor, multiply the empirical formula by that. Now, I'm sort of been going through that and saying, this is really, really straightforward. So it's really straightforward, but it's something you actually need to learn. So you do need to go away and apply your minds to it. So, if we're thinking about things you need to know, how do you calculate an empirical formula is something you need to go away and make sure you've learned. This thing is a little icing on the top, and we'll run a couple of examples. All right. So, example number one, and this is, I'll work one, and then we'll get you to play. So, in this one, carbon 81.82%, hydrogen 18.18%. Calculate the empirical formula. The molar mass of the molecule is 44 grams per mole. Okay. So, calculating empirical formula. What's step one? Okay, how do we do empirical formula given this stuff? It's the first thing we do. First thing we do is convert percent to grams. It's that step that says, assume there is 100 grams of sample. That's what it means. So step one, step two is work out how many moles that is. Mass, we can't compare. We're always, with chemistry, talking about how many atoms. And the counting number we use is moles. So we convert it to moles. 81.82 grams of carbon divided by 12 grams per mole equals 7 point what? 6 point what? 7-ish. And 18 grams of hydrogen (6.81 moles). Now, so we've got 6.81 moles of carbon, 18.18 moles of hydrogen. What do we do next? So this is 2, 3, divide by the smallest number. So carbon, 'kay, first bit's really easy. Second bit, oops, that was easy too. Okay, and we need to treat this, because we're doing this at an introductory level, you're probably not going to get anything horrendous in your maths. If you end up with a horrendous answer that's not a whole number, or like half a whole number or a third of a whole number, go back and recheck it. Okay, so the empirical formula is, was I right? And again, we've got to think, this is an analytical technique, so wiggle room is true. Do not correct me if I'm wrong on anything after about the first decimal place. Certainly not the fifth or sixth. Okay. What's the molar mass of that empirical formula? Sorry? Molar mass. What's the molecular mass of the other thing? Sorry? Okay. Yeah, so that's a third of it. To make me feel better about the mass, I'm going to fiddle it. The molar mass of the thing is 45. So the molecule equals the empirical formula times 3, or C3H9. Now, there's no requirement for you to do an analysis of whether this exists or not. Simply, do the maths. Okay, what was your empirical formula? Sounds lovely. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, no, but why is it 8 then?
No, you're right. C3H8 is certainly something that exists. And this is... Yeah, you're lovely. Okay, so, two cups of coffee, one really see-through and one not. We're playing spot the difference. So... First conclusion, one's nicer than the other. So, which one's got the most coffee in it? The one that's not very see-through. Which one's got the most caffeine in it? The one that's not very see-through. So, the big question is, spot the difference. Okay, what's the difference between the two cups of coffee? No, they're both coffee. Seriously? Once?
No, they are both coffee.
Okay. This gentleman here tells us they are both coffee. You feel free to taste it as long as...
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, nice.
So, they're both coffee. They both came from the coffee machine in the staff room. One's had some more water added to it than the other. So the difference is the amount of coffee in it. So one's darker than the other. One's got more coffee in it than the other. Which leads really nicely onto the next little piece of things that we can calculate. Which is, one's got more coffee particles in it than the other. Which one? Okay, you could point. Okay. The one threatening this gentleman here, or? Yeah, you can tell. But you can tell because one's darker than the other. If you taste it, one's really quite a lot tastier than the other. Leads us nicely into, what do we do next? Concentration. No sugar in it at all. Coffee from the coffee in the staff room, plus I can't remember whether it was one or two teaspoons of instant coffee in it as well. So, yeah, I was trying really hard to make it strong. What's the other word for strong? Concentrated. Okay. Concentrated. Concentration is... What do we call the stuff that got dissolved? Technical term? Okay, technical term, coffee. Bigger, wider chemistry word. If I'd done it with sugar... Solute. Okay, so... So it's the amount of solute dissolved in a... volume of... What do we call the water? The stuff that did the dissolving? The coffee's the solute. What's the water? I'll give you a clue. It starts with S-O-L. No, solution's what we ended up with. Solvent. Okay, so concentration technically is the amount of solute dissolved in a unit volume of solvent producing a solution. Now, this is actually really important because this is the way that most chemistry that we deal with works. Most of what we deal with in chemistry is stuff dissolved in water. So we need to be able to deal with it. Okay. Units. Amount of substance. What's the unit for the amount of substance? Counting. We're counting? Moles. Okay. I didn't know they allowed wildlife in the classroom. Okay. So amount of solute measured in and I can't resist the big colourful letters. So amount of substance measured in moles solute. That's the stuff that you, that's what you put in with the teaspoon.
Yeah.
Okay, so solute's the teaspoon then.
So that's measured in moles.
Yep.
So what about the solution?
Okay, what do we measure solution in? Well, mils, cups. We talk about the unit volume, we talk about an SI unit, so we're talking litres. How many moles are there in a litre? Or how many spoons of coffee are there in a cupful? So, so the volume is measured in liters. We can spell it traditionally or American, it matters not, because we're going to use its abbreviation anyway. Amount of stuff is moles, that's how many teaspoons we put in. Litres is how much we filled it up with. Concentrations given the symbol C, little c equals moles divided by litres. Now we're going to simplify that some more. It went. Alrighty, so we need it more transparent. Come on. And so the two wee things here, concentration is number of moles divided by volume, which is what we've just got here. Concentration equals number of moles over volume. The simple version of this formula, N equals CV, is hopefully one you can remember. The units moles per litre, written moles litres to the minus one. Okay, so that's how much stuff we put in, volume of solvent. The rest of it works the same way that we've always done it. In other words, we'd still start off in a concentration problem with write the equation, work out the stoichiometric ratio, work out how many moles of one thing we've got, how many moles of the other thing we've got. So the only thing we can say usefully at this point is it would be really useful, again, to make sure that you always bring calculator and periodic table. But I think that's probably enough for now, even though we have a moment or so and we're not going to be cut off before our time.